Hey guys, I'm Maria. I'm a sophomore here at Quincy University, and I'm a criminal justice major. And this podcast today will be for my honors project for my London experience class, because we get to study abroad for 2 weeks in January. And I'm podcasting with Daniel over here.
Hi, I'm Daniel Clark. I'm a sophomore on campus. I play football. I've been asked to do a podcast with Maria for her honors project because I have traveled a lot, basically.
Yes, he has. Okay, so we'll start off here with my first question. So I kind of want to know, like, what inspired your family and you to travel so much?
That is a good question. I've been raised with the idea that memories are much more important than material objects and items that money can buy. Experiences with people will last much longer than objects will.
Right. And obviously, those things are super important, but we want to get down to, like, the logistics here. How many countries have you visited?
That's a good question. I think I'm at now 14 different countries between Central America, South America, and Europe.
And so what? So that means you've been to, like, three different continents, right? Yeah. Because Central America is North America.
Yeah. I think so.
Which one?
I don't want to count them out and sound dumb on a podcast, but yes.
So which one has been your favorite continent to visit so far?
It's a good question. Europe.
Really?
Definitely Europe. Mm-hmm.
Why?
I feel the most at home there. I love the culture. I love the people. I love the food. I love the places that you can go. I love the lifestyle. I love the pace of things over there. I don't know. I feel a sense of belonging there.
Do you feel like they have, like, a pretty, like, diverse terrain there?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yes. There are a lot of rolling hills of Tuscany. Mm-hmm. And Rome, it is filled with buildings and people. It's very touristy. Go over to the coast, like Amalfi Coast or by Pompeii. There are lots of mountains, and it takes forever to get places. Or go to, like, Venice, mm-hmm. and there aren't any roads, actually. Everything is water. It's very different where you can go in Europe.
So which one of those countries has stood out the most to you?
Italy.
Why?
I've spent the most time there.
Yeah.
I've been in Greece and Sicily, but I spent the most time in Italy, and I like it the most there.
So with Italy, I want to kind of get, like, a perspective on the differences between, you know, the United States versus Italy, because that is your favorite country to mm-hmm. visit. So what are those big differences that you see?
Okay. This is all just my experience, keep in mind. First off, people walk way more in Europe, much more walking. People are healthier there. The food that you eat there, you can eat so much food and not feel terrible. Mm-hmm. I did not know this. I didn't know grapes actually have, like, pits of seeds in them. First time I had a grape over there. Mm-hmm. I'm chomping down on one. There's a seed in there. It blew my mind. They do things to our food here that they don't do over there. Additionally, the buildings are beautiful. Mm-hmm. It is hard to go there and then come back and then just see these giant boxes of buildings.
Right.
When there's these beautiful homes and buildings that are most of the time very old.
Yeah. I think, though, like, the reason that is, I mean, we've talked about it in class before. You know, America is pretty new compared to, you mm-hmm. know, these old cities and London, too, even mm-hmm. though you haven't been there. And I get to go there.
We're excited for you.
I'm excited, too. But, you know, they have so much history there, and so I think that, you know, it's just different. They're older, like,
no, that's like a good biblical. Point. Yes, it is.
biblical old.
Biblical times old, yes.
Yes. Okay. So, how do you typically plan out your trips? Because that's something we've talked about heavily in the class, is how to enjoy your trip, how to pack for the trip. So how do you, as someone that's not going with a big group of people from your school and it's not a study abroad, how do you plan out your trips? How is it done?
Way ahead. Years in advance. Mm-hmm. Almost every time. It doesn't matter. Years in advance. We typically take the route of before we start planning what we want to do there, where we want to go, we contact friends and travel agents and all their recommendations of what to do, what excursions, what places to visit, and what not to do. So we really go through all of our resources in preparation for trips like that.
Could you tell us some of those things of what not to do when you're abroad?
It really depends where you are. I typically like to avoid touristy areas. Although, if you're going to go to a place like Rome, do it. Go to all the places. Go to the Colosseum. Whenever you do, though, keep in mind what I've been taught and what I've seen. Plan your excursions at a time. Don't ever buy an excursion whenever you're there. Additionally, mind your business. People will try to sell you things all of the time. Mm-hmm. If you look at a shop, if you walk into a shop, start looking at things, touching things, they're going to expect you to buy something, and they will not stop leaving you alone until you buy something. And that's just the way it is. There's nothing wrong with it, but that is the culture. Additionally, keep your hands in your pockets. If you have expensive possessions, keep your hands in your pockets. If you have purses, keep them zipped up. Don't let anything be easily accessible. If somebody could just walk past you and grab something without you knowing, if that can happen, that very well could happen. I have a story of my grandfather. He was in Rome, and I think he was just with my grandma or something. But he had this really nice watch on, and they are in a very touristy area. It is packed with people. And this lady and this girl came up to him, and she has this big map, and she lays the map right in front of his face. And she's not speaking any tongue that he can communicate with, but she's asking him directions. She's pointing at the map, all this stuff. And his hands are underneath of the map because she's put the map over his hands.
Right.
And so he has his hands out. And while this lady has the map in his face, this girl is trying to slip off his watch from his wrist.
Didn't catch him?
No. Didn't work. He grabbed her hand and they ran off. But that happens. That stuff happens. You need to be prepared for it or else you'll be very sorry. And you're probably not going to get your stuff back.
Did he have, insurance on his watch?
Insurance on his watch? I have no idea. Maybe. I doubt it, but
hopefully. I just wonder with that because I have an expensive purse I'm going to be bringing with me.
Okay.
And, you can get insurance on your expensive things. I don't know if that's something I should do or not, though, I guess.
I don't know much about linen. These are just my experiences. But I wouldn't. If I was you, I wouldn't. I don't think it would matter that much.
Okay. Okay. So I want to know. I know the story, but they should know the story. What has been the most unexpected adventure or experience during your travels?
What are you talking about? What have I?
I'm talking about your appendix.
That was terrible. Yeah, I guess you can count that as an unexpected adventure. A couple years ago, I was in the Dominican Republic for New Year's. And New Year's had come and gone, and we're still there. Just a couple days passed. And all of a sudden, I wake up in the middle of the night one morning, and something on my side of my abdomen. It's killing me. It's killing me. And I just thought I was hungry or something. So I try and eat. I throw everything up. I can't sleep. And so this cycle goes on for 2.5 more days. And typically, an appendicitis, your appendix is supposed to rupture after 48 hours. But my folks, they just thought I was being dramatic. They thought that I just had a stomach bug. So they're going out, my whole family, they're going out to the beach every day, and I'm missing everything. I'm bedridden, laying in the dark for days, can't eat, can't drink anything, can't keep anything down. I can't sleep because the pain that I'm always constantly in. And eventually, I went out somehow. I just mustered some strength. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm being ridiculous. I got up and I walked out to the beach with my family. And they're all out there. They've been out there all day. And it's the evening. The sun is setting. And I walked out to the beach. And then, so then I laid in the sand next to them. And eventually, I just passed out completely. I just blacked out. All of my energy was just exerted right there. And they had no idea what was going on. And they look at me. And then they start like trying to ask me if I'm okay, and then start doing tests on me, start looking things up, start touching my abdomen, moving my legs. And we all concurred that it was an appendicitis. And so my mother, she had some medication. I can't remember what it was called. Typically, if you go to like a country like Haiti and eat something you're not supposed to eat, yeah, you would take this kind of pill. She had some left over, luckily, and gave some to me. And within the next 24 hours, the swelling went down. It was pretty amazing. And so we managed to get back to the States. And the next day, I did a CAT scan. And, my appendix was huge, all sorts of colors. It was bad looking. They were shocked that I was fine. And so that was not supposed to happen. That ruined my trip.
Yeah. That's terrible. I'm sorry that happened to you. And that you had to experience that in such a beautiful vacation.
Me too. It was really a bummer. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And appendicitis is probably one of the worst things I've ever experienced.
Yeah. All right. Shifting our focus back to Europe here. You know, us Americans over here hear that, you know, they have some opinions on us. I kind of want to know some of those or what you've experienced. So how do people in other countries typically perceive us from your experience?
That's a good question. They view us as consumers. We are the targeted audience for everything. Mm-hmm. We have the money. We are also not smart enough to not buy everything that we see. I've never experienced a whole lot of prejudice, because typically whenever you go and you are a tourist, they will treat you very well because you are the business.
Right.
But typically, people outside of the U.S. think that Americans are fat and dumb. Those are the two things that I have really gathered myself. If you go on tours, like in Europe, the tour guide will walk. They will walk you the whole way. But they don't expect you to walk because Americans don't walk. And they will always reiterate things or read things for you. Because they don't expect you to know any other language besides English. Mm-hmm. Americans are one of the only societies that don't speak multiple languages. You can go south of here to Mexico. You can go across the Atlantic. Majority of individuals speak multiple languages. Americans are the only people that don't, from my experience. Mm-hmm. You can go to Alaska. That's still American territory. Not everybody still speaks English over there. It is very interesting.
Okay, so You said you've never had a personal, like, negative experience.
No, I have not, no.
So then have you ever heard of any Europeans having positive traits or stereotypes about Americans that they've shared with you?
None that I can really remember if it were to have ever happened. You know, I've always been treated very well. And especially in Europe, people are, they're kind and they're happy to see you and they love to serve you. That's what they do over there.
Yeah.
But that is a lot of places.
And do you feel like being an American has helped or, like, hindered your travel experience?
I would say for me personally, it has helped. Just for the access to other countries so well.
Yeah.
Being an American.
Right.
Because it is harder to go other places when you live in other countries. The U.S., if you are an American citizen, it is easy to get around if you don't have anything on your record. I would say, yeah, it's benefited me greatly.
Is that because just there's, like, a trust with Americans? Or is it just, like, easier with our government and how our system is to travel abroad? Or is it just the stereotype is that we're just trusted individuals to travel abroad?
I would say a little bit of both. I'd say a little bit of both. There's absolutely stereotyping. And, I'm not going to lie. Being a white male, I don't get questioned a whole lot traveling internationally.
Right.
It doesn't happen to me. I'm not going to ignore that. But it is a thing. And I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Do you think there's any way that us Americans can improve our image abroad?
Travel. Learn. Read things. Learn languages. Do not sell yourself short. Be willing to get dirty. Absolutely be willing to get dirty. If you're going to travel places and you want, if you want to pay for a tour to go see a waterfall and you don't want to be a part of the group that goes and jumps at the bottom of the waterfall. Mm-hmm. Why did you go?
Yeah.
That's just a whole situation I just made up in my head. That's,
yeah.
It's happened, not to me, but, you know, yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah. So have you ever experienced a culture shock? If so, where and how did you adjust to that?
Absolutely. I think it was 8 years old the first time I went out of the country, went to Cozumel, Mexico. And that was absolutely a culture shock. For me, everything was loud and very fast. It felt like everybody was in your face trying to say something.
Yeah.
That was my experience. The older I've gotten in other places that I've been, like, the Dominican Republic, I had not seen this before. This is very common, though. You go grocery shopping, and there are little boys outside of the store, and if they see you walking out of the grocery store pushing your cart, and they will quickly take your cart from you and push it to your vehicle and unload all of your groceries for you, and they won't leave until you tip them, and that is how it works. That doesn't happen here.
Yeah, no.
Additionally, I was in Nicaragua maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and that was a very dramatic culture shock. You know, I had seen pictures and videos of what lives look like over there. I was in some very impoverished areas. I was there with Conway of Hope, so it makes sense for me to be there. But these people, their homes were made of just these metal stacks, and... if they could, pieces of wood. They had little to nothing.
Yeah.
They weren't floors, they were dirt floors. People would live in these just little, as big as the room that we're sitting in right now.
Mm-hmm.
People shared that was their kitchen, that was their living room, that was their bedroom. people would rotate from being on beds when they sleep at night and then being on the floor. And then also the schools. You know, we're incredibly blessed here. Incredibly. Yes. The schools, bare minimum. Bare minimum. Talking chairs to sit in.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was a culture shock, absolutely. Seeing what some people's lives actually look like.
Yeah.
Because we have so much here, and some people have so little, but still, to them, they have so much.
Right. I mean, I think that in a way that we live in a bubble over here, and I think that we oftentimes find ourselves just thinking very selfishly about how we live, and we don't realize what is going on outside of our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that, so obviously that's an extreme culture shock from being over here and then going to somewhere like that. And it's sad, but that is the reality and the truth of living in the world. How did that make you feel, and how did you adjust to seeing that?
It gave me so much perspective. Made me so grateful for my life, everything that I have. Don't take any of it for granted, because who would I be if I was just born somewhere else?
Yeah.
What would my life look like?
Yeah.
You know, I even think about it. What if I didn't have my parents? What if I was born with another family here? Where would I be in life? Don't take anything for granted. You know, I felt so blessed. One thing that I did take away, though, from the people in Nicaragua, they were some of the happiest people that I had met.
Yeah.
And a bit of me felt like that they were somehow better off than we were.
Yeah.
Because they were missing out on a lot of things, but at the same time, it was kind of good that they were missing out on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Additionally, a lot of these people didn't even know what they were missing out on.
Yeah.
All the things that we have here. So they don't know. You know, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
So it has changed my perspective immensely.
While you've, you know, traveled, and especially in Central America, because they have a lot of unique traditions, have you ever experienced a custom or tradition that impressed you at all?
That is a good question. I don't know if I have an answer for that. If I've ever been a part of a tradition, I don't think I remember.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've run across something before, but none that I can think of off the top of my head.
When did you travel to? I'm not even going to try to pronounce the country. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to mess it up.
What are you talking about then?
The country you just said. You were just talking about it.
Nicaragua?
Yeah.
I want to say it was my freshman year of high school. Yeah, that sounds right.
So, looking for my next question here. What's been the most rewarding experience so far out of all your travels, the most rewarding experience?
I can't just pick one. You know, I'll name a few. You know, I wouldn't say rewarding. I think that that's not a great way of putting it mm-hmm. for what I'm going to say. But probably just like moments where, you know, I'm just absolutely in love with where I am and I have so much peace. Two summers ago, I was in Tuscany, we went on a cheese and wine tasting tour, and I found this little bench in this garden overseeing some of the rolling hills of Tuscany,
mm-hmm.
And I just had wine and cheese on this bench with me, and there's nobody else around, and I just sat there. And it was really, really amazing. I wish a lot of I wish everybody could experience that. Mm-hmm. There's so much peace in that moment. It was so beautiful. Yeah. I love cheese and wine.
Did their cheese make your stomach upset?
No, never.
Wow.
You could eat so much food over there, it wouldn't make you upset. Before I had my appendicitis in the Dominican Republic,
mm-hmm.
There were just a couple nights out on the beach where, man, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the sense of rewarding, you know, we had to fly at least 15 hours, drive another 4 just to get where we were.
Yeah.
And in the sense of rewarding, it felt very rewarding. All the travel that we had to do to get to the spot where we were, mm-hmm. felt very rewarding.
Yeah. What's the most beautiful or awe-inspiring place you have visited?
It's a good question. That's difficult, though. You know, beaches are beautiful. St. John, that is technically American territory, but that is beautiful. It's breathtaking. The Bahamas, breathtaking. I had just visited Little Exuma this last January.
Uh-huh.
That had the clearest water I had ever seen, ever. It was so beautiful. We were over maybe 40 feet of water, and you could see the bottom.
It's
crystal clear.
Where is that at?
Little Exuma.
Where is that at, though?
The Bahamas.
Okay.
There's Big Exuma, Little Exuma. Those are on the east side of where all the islands are.
Nice. And so when is your next big travel adventure?
That's a good question. Let me look at my calendar really quick, actually. The 28th, we're leaving for the Bahamas again, actually. For a couple weeks, and then from there, I'm going to get on a boat and visit, I think, Turks and Caicos, along with the Bahamas again. And I can't remember. I should look at my itinerary again. I can't think off the top of my head. It is a lot, though. You know, I'm extremely blessed to be able to go all the places that I have. You know, I don't take it for granted, and I love sharing about it because I wish everybody could go these places.
Yeah. So before we wrap up here, I have a couple more questions left. So I know we already kind of talked about this, but I want to go more into depth about this. How have your travel adventures changed your perspective on life and the world? I want to know more.
You know, my problems in life feel so little all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Sometimes my life, you know, I have to tell myself to take a step back and remember that there's a whole world. There's a whole world. You know, we're so little and we're in such a little spot of the world. And it makes your problems feel so little. It does, especially if you think about the less fortunate. Because your struggles are oftentimes good struggles to have. Your problems are good problems to have because there are worse, way worse problems to have. Traveling, it's taught me to really don't settle for less because the world is beautiful and there's so much to see. So don't just settle for what is comfortable or convenient.
Yeah.
Because there are greater things than what you've just seen.
Right.
So those are just some of the things that I remind myself of, think about. I love seeing God's creation. It makes me feel closer to God as well.
Mm-hmm.
See all that he's created.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. So, do you feel or do you like ever see yourself living abroad?
I've always thought about it. If I was going to do it, better soon than later.
Right.
Because you really have to establish yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have any family.
Yeah.
Still alive that don't live in the U.S. So if you're going to go somewhere, you're not going to have anybody. So if I was going to do it, I would do it sooner than later.
Yeah.
I could see myself doing it. I love the pace and the lifestyle and the culture over in Italy. I love it.
Yeah. So would you say if you were to move to any country, it would be Italy? Maybe if it's
in
even
a perfect
for
world,
a few
yeah.
years.
Yeah. In a perfect world, yes. Well, more realistically, probably Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. That's a whole different discussion. But, probably Italy, for sure.
What are all the countries you visited? I know you have a list.
Yeah, I have to find it. From 1 through 14, I guess there's 13, not counting the U.S. Canada, Belize, Costa Rica, Honduras, Nicaragua, the Bahamas, the Dominican Republic, Jamaica, Mexico, Italy, Greece, Croatia, and Montenegro.
You've been to Croatia?
Yes, I have.
That's in Europe, right?
Yeah.
When did you go there? What's your experience there? Because I've never heard anything, I don't think, really about Croatia and visiting Croatia.
I want to say, you know, I'm probably wrong. You should look up Dubrovnik really quickly. Look that up on your computer.
How do you spell that?
Dubrovnik's in Croatia. Yeah. When I went to Croatia, I visited Dubrovnik. It's very similar to the rest of the places. A majority of people talk a dialect of Italian. The food is great. Everything is within walking distance. This is just the part that I visited. You know, I have nothing bad to say about it. It was beautiful. It was very beautiful there.
It looks very beautiful on Google.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that wraps us up here. Thank you for listening to our podcast. And thank you, Daniel, for being a guest on here. I really appreciate you coming here, and I loved listening to
Thank you for having me.
I love listening to your travel experiences, and I look forward to hearing about your trip over winter break.
I'm excited for your trip to London.
Me too. I can't wait to tell you about it when I get back. All right. Thank you so much.